Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, listeners. Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Our guest tonight, this afternoon, is Antoine Banks, author of Made, Sex, Drugs, and Murder, which is a fictional book. But first, I'd like to say, listeners, this show is sponsored by Dobine & Cowan Mortgage Investments. Don't forget to contact Dobine & Cowan Mortgage Investments. This company can handle all of your commercial finances needs. So contact them at 678-607-5092. Allow them to handle your commercial financing needs and tell them the Show Talk with Angela Butler sent you. Also, Dobine & Cowan's website is http://dobines.webs.com. And also, Dobine & Cowan's Mortgage Investments are hiring in the Credit Repair Department. No phone calls about this job in the Credit Repair Department. And don't forget to go to them with your commercial mortgage investment needs. All right, listeners, back to the show. Tonight, like I was saying, we have with us Mr. Antoine Banks, the author of Made. Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Hey, how you doing, Angela? I'm glad to be on the show.
Glad to have you on the show.
Good. Happy to be here.
Yes, I'm happy to have you. So, you're on the show tonight to talk about your book, Made, Sex, Drugs, and Murder. And it's a fictional book.
Right, fictional.
Okay. Well, one of the first things I guess my listening audience would want to know, why did you write the fictional book, Made?
When I first set out to write Made a couple of years ago, I was actually going to write an autobiography about myself because once I got out of the military, I did live in Las Vegas, and some of the things, you know, that took place in the book are based on me. But as I was writing it, I decided, well, I want to make this a little bit more adventurous, a little more fun, make it juicy. And I always like to write, you know, poems and stuff like that now, and I figured this was a good opportunity to launch my writing career with this book, and I decided to make it fiction so I can, you know, add some more characters in there and, you know, some things that I thought would be fun to read, you know, that would attract the reader, and that would be entertaining, because after all, that's what it's all about, is entertaining. Entertain the individual, you know, the fan, the reader, you know, giving them something that they can read and enjoy, and I'll talk about to their friends and, you know, look forward to some more work from that author. So that's why I went that way with it.
All right. You're a very talented writer, so I have to ask this. What is your educational background? Did you have any college journalism experience or go to college or anything like that?
Actually, writing was a gift. As a guy, my guy getting the talent, it was a gift, but I didn't, you know, really hone in on it until later in my life. And I really found out how good I was at it when my first year of college, and I was going to be an architecture engineer, and I was minoring journalism. And my writing teacher, you know, she was giving me these assignments to write stories and stuff, and read them in front of the class. And it was from then that I seen the reaction that I got from people when I was writing. And also, she kept on me, you know, to get better at it, and she was telling me, you know, where I could improve at it and stuff like that. And, you know, I took it from there, and unfortunately, halfway through college, I decided to go to the military because I really did not feel like I wanted to continue on in college and be an architect engineer. I wanted to go to the military and serve my country, and I ended up going that route. And while I was in the military, I ended up becoming an electronic technician, so I still had a trade, you know. So I mean, I wasn't too disappointed with, you know, the trade that I picked up in, but I really didn't want to stay in the military for 4 years, so after that tour, I got out.
Okay, so you didn't want to stay in the military for 4 more years. After 4 years, you got out of the military. Okay, you started out going to school for drafting, architecture.
Right.
Yes, I have a family member that is as an architect.
Okay.
Was any of Maid or any character similar to you? I know you said it was based roughly on you, on your life, but it's also fictional. So which character mostly resembles you?
The main character, AC. The main character,
okay.
Resembles me. Right.
Oh, okay. All right, that's saying a lot now. That's saying
right.
a lot. Because he's a hustler, gangster, mob. Okay, that's saying
right.
a lot. Okay, but I understand that it is fictional.
It is fictional, right.
And it's strictly for entertainment. But I understand that people live multifaceted lives, so there's no, so, okay. What did
right.
the character Andy A.C. Cooper originate from?
You asked me where the name came from or
how I created
the character?
Yes.
The character was based on me, but I took myself with the military background and some other individuals I knew while I was in Vegas and some people I encountered later in my life, and I entwined all that into one character and came up with AC. The name AC was a guy that I knew years ago that ran a club that I used to, you know, work at with, and we call him AC. You know, his name wasn't, you know, Andy Cooper or something else, but I took the name from that, and I used that, and I kind of, like, intertwined all those individuals and took different traits from each one of them and put it into AC and made him just one character.
Okay, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. I used to write, and
okay.
when I was in the seventh grade, I was about 12 years old. I wrote a 335-page book, somewhere in there, and it was all written on notebook paper.
Okay.
So I've always loved to write. I wrote poetry and things like that, and I like to write. And you're very gifted, by the way. You're very talented. Is this your first book?
This is my first book. It is.
Okay. Will there be a sequel to this book?
Actually, it's going to be two more parts of this book. This is book one of a trilogy. Maid is part of a trilogy. And I also have another book that's going to be released the end of August that I just finished, the 4th of July, I just finished it. And this one is, it's not a gangster crime thriller novel like Maid is. This one is an erotic love series, you know, more on the romance side, a little bit soft than Maid was, but it's still a good read, and it's a, like I said, it's a series, and that comes out the end of August.
So this is a series. Is Andy A.C. Cooper, in since it's a trilogy, is he in the book too? Trilogy, yes.
Yeah, A.C. is the main character throughout all three books, yes.
Oh, of course. Okay. All right, thank you for that. How do you enjoy spending your spare time when you're not writing or thinking of characters or things like that? What do you like to do in your spare time?
In my spare time, I watch TV. I like to go to basketball games, football games, stuff like that, enjoy sports, go out to a jazz bar, see some spoken word every now and then. And but the crazy thing about it, all those things, I still find time no matter where I'm at. I'm always thinking about, you know, I can use this building or this scene or this character or just, you know, add this to one of my books. I'm always thinking like that all the time because, you know, I'm a writer. I'm taking it seriously. I'm doing it as a profession now. I'm making my living off of it. So everything that I do and I look at it, you know, no matter how small or how little or how big, you know, it's somewhat it's going to influence me as a writer.
Okay. All right. Do you have any plans to make any of your books into a film or a movie?
When I initially wrote Maid, my whole concept was to write it as a screenplay into a movie, but I decided to go other route and write it as a book. And that, for me, I thought that was the smart thing to do, to write it as a book. And if somebody wants to option it as a movie, they could. And that way I can make money off it as a book and as a movie. And that's why I did it that route. Plus, I have a cousin of mine that you know, went to school for film, and he gave me some pointers on how to write a screenplay and stuff like that. And I took that formula and that skill set and used it when I was writing my books, and I incorporated it into my style. So when I write, if you know anything about screenwriting, you know you have to set up the scenes and stuff like that. And when I write, I do that in my writing. So, you know, I want the reader to, you know, to see what's going on. I want the reader to experience what the character is experiencing at that moment. So when they're reading along with the character, you know, they know what the character is looking at, what the character is feeling, and what he's touching, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. All right. How long did it take you to write Maid? Because, I mean, Maid is about 254 pages, approximately,
actually, estimated. That's the Kindle page count. The actual paperback count of Maid is 420 pages. It's 420 pages. It took me 2 years to write it.
Oh, wow. It took you 2 years. Okay.
2 years.
Why the city Las Vegas, or Sin City, as you name it, for the setting of the book, Maid? Why not some other city in the United States?
Because Las Vegas incorporated everything that Maid was about. And Maid, actually, like I said, when I started writing, it was about me, and I was in Vegas, you know, all that stuff, you know, a lot of the, you know, stuff, some of the stuff in there happened to me, but, you know, not on a high crime level, but some of the stuff did happen to me, and it happened in Vegas, and that made Vegas the perfect setting for it. And that kind of, like, when I was writing, I was like, wow, I'm in Vegas doing this. I'm like, but you can do so much more in Vegas, and so much more happens in Vegas. Make this thing fictional and put all this stuff in there and let's go that route.
Okay, all right. Okay, so you just made you a whole book out of what you saw, the people you were around, and what you experienced, and
right.
and the different people you came in contact with. So you just made one character, Andy A.C. Cooper. Okay.
Right.
I understand. Do you think your book shows how easily one can become involved in crime, even though it's fictional, you know, how easily one can go from being law-abiding to being involved in crime?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, because in that main character's case, AC, what happened with him was that he got the military, was married, and all that fell apart, and he was on his own trying to, you know, find another way to make a living. And that's how he actually, you know, fell into a life of crime when he met this young lady named Sabrina, the other character in the book. When he met her, things kind of started turning for him, for the worse, you know, as far as not being a law-abiding citizen anymore. Just you know, things was happening. That was out of control. You know, sometimes when you associate yourself with people, the stuff that those people do, you know, it happens to you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes, that's true. Thing you can get involved with people or situations that turn that I assume that can make a person go a different way than what they originally on the straight road than the original straight road that they were put on, destined to be on. Okay, all right, listeners, we're going to take a break. This afternoon we have with us author Antoine Banks. He is the author of Maid. We're going to take a break. I'd like to remind my listeners not to forget about Dobine and Cowan's mortgage investments. Don't forget about them. And I'd also like to give you that number again. It's 1-678-607-5092. Also, let's not forget about... let's see. Okay, April Smith Holt, the founder and creator of, I call her the Black Mary Kay, of the beauty cosmetic company. She can be found. Her website is April Smith Holt, and she can be found on Facebook. Don't forget her. And also, let's go into some commercials. All right, listeners, we're not going to be able to go into those commercials, so we're going to go back into the questions. Sorry about that. What was your former career? Besides military, architect, and what was the other, were you some kind of engineer?
Right, after I got in the military, I went into the club business. I was a club owner for 12 years. And
you were what?
A nightclub owner.
Nightclub owner, club owner?
A gentleman's club owner. It was a nightclub.
Okay.
And I did that for 12 years. And that was, let's see, my first year of that business started in Las Vegas. That's how I really got into it. And I ended up leaving Las Vegas, going back down south to Carolina, where I was from, and I opened up a club. And I did that for from 99 until 2010, September 2010, I did that.
Okay.
And it was then, you know, the last few years towards the end of the club business when I started writing, because business started dwindling down. It was getting slow when the economy changed and everything. I seen the ship sinking, so I decided to keep on writing.
Thank you.
I seen it sinking.
Because of the economy, so you took up writing.
Right.
Do you feel that now that you are a writer, an author, a published author, that you are in the right career field now, or would you go back to your other career choices, other career fields?
I often thought about that, and the thing is, I like writing, I love writing, and it comes so easy to me. And the steps that I made so far and what I've accomplished at this far at this short time is incredible. I would never thought I would have did what I've done by myself, because at the end of August, beginning of September, my books are going to be in stores nationwide and overseas, worldwide. I just last Wednesday, I signed a distribution contract for my books to be out worldwide. So, I mean, I did all that, but it was by the grace of God. You know, I give all the glory to God because, you know, that's how it happened. And when you're doing what you're supposed to do, your gift and whatever God ordained you to do, when you're doing that, you'd be surprised how easily it happens for you. So I'm sticking with it.
So you're sticking with it. So this is your career. And are you one of those, this sounds like a silly question, but are you one of those people who enjoys what they do and gets paid for what they do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. That's wonderful. Would you write for free if you had to? Would you just write for free?
I do. I still do. I mean, I had a magazine that was dedicated to hip hop and models and stuff like that. I still have an online site for it that I write, and, you know, just to promote people and their work and their creation, their art and stuff like that, and put it out there. You know, I still do that. I mean, because giving is the key of life. You can never stop giving, and you got to give from the heart. You know what I mean? Don't give and expect to receive anything back. You got to do it, you know, freely. It's give from the heart. You do that, and everything will work out for you. You know, you just got to do it willingly. You don't try to do it expecting anything back. But I still do write, you know. For a non-profit, put it that way.
Besides my show, I hadn't did any writing in some years, except for a script I was working on, and I got opportunity to write for a magazine, but it has not come out yet, so I can't really talk about it. But I'm really excited about that, so I'll be telling everybody about it once it's out.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yes, I'm going back to what I love to do. I went to college also, but my major was journalism and my minor was English.
Okay.
But I did not get an AA degree or any type of degree. I just got college credit hours, got close to 30 college credit hours. So I didn't finish college, but I like to write. I like to read when I can, and I like to I like to interview people. That's something I like to do. And I like to give a voice to people who ordinarily wouldn't have a voice. I'm not, per se, talking about you, but there are people that have been on my show that ordinarily might not have gotten a chance or a voice for people to hear them and to hear their stories.
Right, I understand.
So I'm real happy with the way the internet radio is going. I'm real happy about it. I have thousands of listeners, and I'm grateful to God for that, you know, because everybody wants to have a purpose, and everybody wants something fulfilling. So this is helping me a lot. And I really enjoy it. Would you like to read an excerpt from your book?
I can read a little bit.
Okay.
Read a little bit. Yeah.
Which chapter are you reading?
I'm going to read chapter 2. I'm going to read the premises first of the book, the intro. I'm going to read that first, and then I'm going to read chapter 2.
Okay.
All right. Dear reader, the journey you're about to embark on is about Andy Cooper, a military vet turned hustler, turned gangster, turned crime boss. His marriage is on the rocks. Fresh out of the military, AC finds himself broke and lost with a wife and 3 kids to feed. Trapped in Sin City and working any job he can get from day to day to make ends meet. Hating the state of mind he's in right now, a really messed up way to be. Gone are the days when Uncle Sam paid for house, daycare, and groceries. Now, all on his own again, with no idea where life is going to take him. One thing for sure, Andy, A.C. Cooper, no longer wanted to wear that Army uniform another day. Coop loved every minute of it and would not trade it for the world, but the next chapter of his life was about to start. It just so happened that he landed in Las Vegas, one of the hardest cities to make it in. It is truly the land of the hustler. What the outsiders don't know is that beneath the bright neon lights, the delicious buffets and luxurious casinos makes a whole different world that would eventually suck him in. Chapter 2 is titled The Epiphany. The night is young, and AC decides to scroll down Vegas Boulevard, passing the casinos and want to be in the position of the guy sitting at the blackjack table that was playing $5,000 a hand. His mind scrambled on ways to achieve that financial success. After all, he was walking in a city that started as a dream of mobster Benny Siegel, a paradise in the desert. But while walking down the sidewalk, he kept being bothered by these annoying Mexicans. They were relentlessly forcing these adult bookings on everyone. Sex, sex, sex. Beautiful Asian, Latin, Caucasian, and African women laced the covers of these booklets with prices and direct phone numbers to call for a date. Coop was zoned in on the whole makeup of this industry and how legal it was to promote here in Las Vegas. He then wondered how one could get behind the scenes and be the big dog collecting the money. The interest didn't lie in the desire to order sex or to even be a pimp. The stuff he was talking about was bigger than that. AC wanted to know the ins and outs, the infrastructure of the business, how the escort service worked, who got what cut, and how they hired the girls. Intrigued by the idea of the sex industry, he walked into Babe's, a topless club on the corner, just a block from his office on the strip in Charleston. He started to befriend some of the dancers by using the people skills he learned during his days of door-to-door selling. AC asked the girls about the strip and escort industry, if they work as escorts also. If so, what was it like and how much did they make? One of the dancers went by Yum Yum. She mentioned trying it for a while but preferred dancing and went on to say escort was too risky, that it was illegal in the city of Las Vegas but legal in the county. So Vice was always locking up girls and shutting down agencies in the city. The money was okay if you wanted to take the chance, but the agency usually got 30 to 40% of what you made. In the clubs, you pay a house fee and a small percentage on your VIP dancing. Plus, you can work a 5-day shift in a week in a safe environment. What Young Young expressed helped a little, but he wanted to take it a little bit further. Interested to know if the girls in these booklets were real or just models, he got a room at a nearby casino and called to get a date. Coop ordered a sexy 5'9" Latino named Carmen. In the picture, her hair was sandy blonde, shoulder length with brown eyes, juicy lips, and 38 deep breaths. One would get excited just by looking at her. AC was so excited. If she stood up at the door right now, he would probably be all over himself. When he called the number, a raspy voice answered the phone. Hello, Angel's Escorts. How can I help you? I would like to book a date with Carmen. Okay, sir. Where are you staying? Are you visiting, and what's your name? He replied, I'm staying at the casino on the corner of Vegas Boulevard in Charleston. Yes, I am visiting. My name is Cooper, and I'm in room 564. okay, sir, it will be $500. She will be there in 45 minutes. Thanks for choosing Angels and enjoy your day. Coop's forehead was sweating like someone had just bashed his face with a bucket of water. His heart was beating so fast he could feel it hit his chest. He couldn't sit down and found himself pacing the room back and forth from the window to the door, talking out loud. What will my mom and grandma think of me now? I just ordered a prostitute. He had to calm down or he would definitely scare Carmen when she got there. Pouring a drink while sitting on the couch, he decided to watch some TV to pass the time. Knock, 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 knock. Oh, I have to get that. I have to get it together. She's here already. I can't wait to see how she looks. He walked towards the door and glanced through the peephole. What? Sir, I know this is not Carmen. This V is a crackhead. If I ever see one, I know she's a crackhead. Maybe it's a mistake. So he asked, yes, who is it? This is Carmen, your date. Bull, you don't look anything like that picture. I changed my mind. You can take your A home. What? You owe me. I don't owe you nothing. Get the hell on before I call hotel security, you crackhead. The phone starts to ring. Ring, ring, ring. Hello. What's the problem, sir? You sent me a crackhead. That's the problem. Well, I'm sorry. You're not happy, but there's a $150 agency fee that you have to pay for booking a girl. You can take that fee and shove it up your... Click. You hung up the phone. Sitting on the bed... Sitting on the bed with his hands on his knees and shaking his head, he said to himself, this is too much. Maybe I should go downstairs and play some cards or something. I really want to know more about this industry. It's getting late, and that combination was unforgettable, to say the least. First thing tomorrow, I'm going to the classified to see if there's any jobs available in the strip club. Maybe I can be a bouncer or something. They don't really put me on the inside of the sex industry. He began to really focus energy on getting into the industry. It bothered him so much he couldn't sleep because it was on his mind so heavy. Where is that room key? I'm going to give me some pizza, cold beer from Luigi. He could feel his stomach rumble while walking down to the pizza parlor. Damn, I'm hungry. As he approached the pizza parlor, the smell of fresh cheese and dough filled the air. Ah, it smells so good. Hello, sir. How can I help you? Can I get 2 slices of Italian sausage, please, and a cold beer? Yeah, this is really going to hit the spot. Maybe now I can sleep after. He takes his order and walks over to have a seat at the table. Excuse me? Yes. What is it? Is that pizza good? It's great. You should try it. Here, have a slice of mine. Why, thank you. You're welcome. I'm Sabrina, by the way. Nice to meet you, Sabrina. I'm Andy. Hello, Andy, she said. Sabrina stood 5'8" with a model-type body, olive skin that was smooth as cream, and long, silky black hair. Andy, being the man that he was, wasn't about to let her get away. He proceeded to ask what kind of plans he had for later. What are you getting into later? Well, I was thinking about going to get a margarita that's dancing on the rooftop at Club 74. It would be great if you come along. Is that an invitation, Sabrina? Are you meeting someone there? Maybe some friends, or were you just going alone? Actually, the idea just came up. I was just coming over to get a bite and ran to you, mister. And so would you like to join me or not, sir? Taking a long pause, he finally answered. Sure, we can go party, baby. The first round is on me. No, I was thinking. More like the whole night will be on you. It will be worth your while, sexy black man. Is that right? Well, let's just see what happens, Sabrina. The two get up from the table and leave the pizza joint. They acted as if they knew each other for years as they walked alongside one another through the casino and out the door.
All right. That was chapter 2?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That sounds intriguing. It sounds interesting. All right. What is your definition of a hustler? Your definition of it, not Webster's, the dictionary's definition of it. What is your definition of a hustler?
My definition of a hustler is somebody that is willing to succeed no matter what. That's my definition of a hustler, no matter what, how they feel, or what position they're in, they will go through all obstacles and take leaps and bounds to succeed.
In your opinion, were you at any point in your life a hustler?
Yes, I was.
Okay. If you could change anything about your life, what would it be?
I would have finished college and not go to the military.
Okay. You wouldn't have went to the military. All right. Okay. All right. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, I see myself still writing with at least 20 titles under my belt and probably signing some more authors under my publishing company.
Back to the other question. If you could change anything about your life, what would it be? You said you wouldn't have went to the military. You would have stayed in college. Why is that?
If I would have stayed in college, I probably would have ended up, I know it's not a probably, I would have ended up going another route and not running a club, you know, for the 12 years or whatever, you know. And the club part, you know, that was a hustle, you know, and it was something that, it was a phase of my life. It was something that I had to do. I had to survive it. That's something at that time I knew how to do, and I did it.
Okay. All right, so you ran a club. All right. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I already asked it. What tips could you give to up-and-coming authors? Up-and-coming authors who are trying to get their work published and things like that and trying to get it on the market. And what advice could you give them? What tips?
The very, very first thing I would tell them is that after they finish their project, make sure they finish your project. Don't say you want to write and don't finish your project. You know, don't have a book or a novel ready to promote. I would say after they finish their project, before they put it on the market, and I put it out there to, you know, put together a focus group, a group of people to get them some opinions on the book, you know, and take those opinions, the good ones and the bad ones, and work with them. And make that project the best project that they can. And once they're done with the project, they can go two routes. They can, you know, if they want to publish themselves, they can do that now, or if they want to go through a publisher, they can do that. But if they go through a publisher, just make sure that they go by the business model that the publisher have in place, because they have different ways and formats that you can submit your manuscript to them. If you don't, then they won't accept it. They won't even look at it. And be prepared to wait a number of months for a response. As far as self-publishing, if there's any time to self-publish your book as an author, it's now. Because of all the new technology with the e-book and the Kindle and the Nook and all the e-readers and the ability to get your books on your smartphones, iPhones, and Blackberries and things of that nature. And also, with that being said, too, they still have it where they got it now where as a self-published author that you can get your books in stores. The worldwide, just like the large publishers, but you gotta go through the right channels. You gotta become incorporated. You gotta get a corporation. You gotta do your due diligence. You gotta do your homework because a corporation is not gonna deal with you if you're not a corporation. You gotta speak the language. Bottom line, if you're not a corporation is not gonna deal with you. They're not gonna cut you a check and pay you. You're not a corporation. They wanna do business with a corporation, so both of you guys are liable. You know what I mean? That's my advice.
Now, okay, that's your advice. Do you think being an independent publisher or a self-publisher is better than being corporation, being incorporated?
Well, I mean, as a self-publisher, you gotta get incorporated. Well, you should. I don't say
okay.
You have to, but you should. You should be incorporated. As a self-publisher, you should be incorporated, meaning... As a self-publisher, you should own your own publishing company, and then once you get the name of your publishing company, then you should get your publishing company incorporated. So now you got your own publishing company, and it's incorporated, which means that, you know, you can do business with other corporations, you know, in the United States and abroad, and you need that to do business.
In the United States and abroad. So in your own opinion, is that better than going straight to, let's say, a publishing company that already has everything already set up and getting them to do everything?
In my opinion, it is, but that's based on me and my situation and, you know, where I'm at and what I'm looking for. For somebody else that...
So it depends on the situation and the person and what they're looking for. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. So you're... A corporation.
Right, I have a corporation. My corporation is VIP Inc. Publishing Group Incorporated. The imprint for that is Print House Books. So
it's what now? Say that again, please.
The imprint for VIP Inc. Publishing Group is Print House Books.
Print House Books?
Right.
Print House Books. I've heard of that company. Seems
right,
like.
That's my website. All right, that's my website. And That's my company, Print House Books.
How long has your Print House Books been around?
It's fairly new. I just started middle of February.
Okay. All right. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Where can my listeners go to buy your book?
As of right now, you may purchase the book on your phone, smartphones, iPhones, or Blackberries, via the Kindle apps, the Nook apps. We got an iPhone. It's available in the iBookstore, Kobo app, Sony Reader app, stuff like that. It's available. And it's type in "made by Aunt Banks" and it'll come up. You can purchase it there. Also, if you have a Nook or a Kindle, you can get on your Nook or Kindle. It's in the store, Nook or Kindle e-stores, direct, or your Kindle Fire, iPad also. If you want, right now, if you want paperback copies, you can go to printhousebooks.com, which is my website, printhousebooks.com. You can go to that site and you can get paperbacks. Also, Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And as of the end of August, beginning of September, the book will be available in stores, Barnes & Noble stores and all other stores nationwide and overseas.
That is wonderful. Nationwide and overseas. That is something. That is something else. That's quite an accomplishment.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I appreciate you agreeing to come on, and I look forward to having you back.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night. You too,
Mr. Banks. You too. Listeners, we've had with us this afternoon. It's going on 6:36 here. Mr. Antoine Banks, his nickname, Ant Banks. He's the author of the book Made. I encourage you to go out and check out his book at the sites that he named, and Kindle, and I think he said Kindle, and some others he named. Kindle, phone, smartphone, Google apps. So check out his book. You will be in for a treat. So check out his book. I know that this is his first book, so I enjoyed having him as a guest, and I look forward to having him back. Also, I'd like to say, listeners, this show is sponsored by Dobine and Cowan Mortgage Investments. Listeners, don't forget to contact Dobine and Cowan Mortgage Investments and tell them that Show Talk with Angela Butler sent you. The contact number for them is 678-607-5092. This company can handle all of your commercial financing needs. Their website is http://dobines.webs.com. Again, that number is 678-607-5092. And also, Dobine and Cowan Mortgage Investments are hiring the credit repair department. No phone calls about the credit repair job. Just go to the website and put in your information, and someone will be in contact with you. So thank you, listeners, for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. And don't forget Mr. Antoine Banks, our Aunt Banks, and his book, Made. Check out his book, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow night. Have a good night, everyone.